2 Peter chapter 1. So if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, you probably were at 2 Peter chapter 1. That's page number 897 in the Pew Bible, if you're using the Pew Bible. We're going to read the first 11 verses. Let's stand as we read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. We'll probably only look at verse number 1 this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So if you've obtained this like precious faith, he's writing to you, right? To them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's the ending of the first sentence. All those four verses, long sentence. Huh? Verse number 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go once again to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, with the image and thought upon our hearts and minds that we've discussed already earlier this morning, we open our mouths wide, Father, even as those little baby birds, that you might fill them, Father. Fill, Father, our hearts and minds with the desires of our hearts, Father, with the things that we have need of, Father, even things that we don't realize that we need. Father, pray that you would speak into each and every heart here. Father, help us to enter into the reality of the joy that is ours in Christ, in the words that are set before us this morning, as being those who have obtained like precious faith. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy unto us. We glorify your great name this morning. We worship you. We attend unto the things that you've written unto us and ask that you'd help us, Father, to apply them to our lives and to walk in them in a way that might honor and glorify you in all that we do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So here's the second letter that Peter here writes unto us. Do you recall how he addressed us in the first letter, in 1 Peter chapter 1? He said unto us, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That's how he addressed us in the previous letter. In this letter, he addresses us as those that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what the Lord has called our attention to this morning. Like those that have obtained like precious faith. We want to think about that this morning. This matter of faith and its origin. Where'd your faith come from? Where'd you get your faith? Did you just pick it up one day? Did you buy it off a store shelf? Did it come from some book that you bought in the Christian bookstore? You know, how did you get this faith? Were you born with it? Did you come here with it? Was it part of the equipment that you came here with, just like your eyes and fingers and toes? Or did you, as the scripture says here, how do we get it? What does it say? What's the word it uses? What does it say in the first verse? How'd you get this faith? Look there at the first verse and somebody tell me how you got it. We obtained it. We obtained it. We obtained this exactly the way that Dad was saying. It's a gift. He's already getting ahead of me. We obtained it as a gift to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So faith does not originate in ourselves. It is, as already has been spoken, a gift. It's a gift. How'd you get it? It was given to me. Gracie, what color are your eyes? My eyes are getting bad. I can't see all the way back there. Are they brown? Your eyes are brown. How'd you get those? How'd you get those brown eyes? Did you go in the store one day and decide you wanted brown eyes? Or did you order brown eyes? How'd you get those eyes? You obtained them from God. God gave them to you. They're a gift. Be glad you have brown eyes. God gave you those eyes. Don't wish you had blue eyes. Lots of people run around, they go and obtain contacts off the shelf to change the color of their eyes. We ought to be thankful and glad for what God's given us. He made us the way that we are. He made us the way we are for a reason. But we obtain faith the same way Gracie got eyes to begin with. I mean, how is it that you have eyes? How is it that you weren't born not being able to see? Why aren't you blind? Why do you have two eyes, not just one? We don't have any control over that in and of ourselves. We obtain that from God. God gives that. And you may say, well, why would God make somebody blind? Well, He has His reasons, and His thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and His ways are higher than your ways. And so are they than mine. You think about somebody like Fannie J. Crosby, who was blind. You go looking in your hymn book, see how many hymns are in there by that lady. God made her that way. And she saw things. She saw things that people with eyes could not see. She wrote about things that people with eyes do not write about. She knew things that people that have sight can't see. She saw things that people with eyes couldn't see. Now, I'm not saying that you can't see the same thing she saw. If you're a child of God and you've obtained like precious faith, you have the same faith that she had. So those things that she writes about, maybe the Lord hasn't gifted you to pen a hymn, but you ought to be able to sing that hymn and understand what she was talking about, because you've obtained like. You've obtained this faith, and it's like precious faith. It's the same faith that she had. It's the same faith, as far as that goes, that Abraham had. Same faith that Noah had. Here Noah was, and God tells him, build a boat. The water had never flooded that land before. By faith, Noah did that. You go read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and over again we find, by faith, by faith, by faith. And all those people that you read about there, they weren't super Christians. You have light. Precious faith. It's just like theirs. It's not different than theirs. It's God given. You've obtained it from Him. It's a gift. And it's the same as theirs. It's like faith. It's not different faith. It's like faith. And then He says it's precious. It's precious to be treasured. It's to be thanked. It'll be thankful for and thank God for. It's like precious faith. So, this faith comes from God. We didn't come here with it. God has given it, even according to Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you are saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the, what? Gift of God. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So that right there negates that any man obtains it in and of himself. You know, he doesn't go and get it somehow. It's not because he's smarter or he's faster or he's stronger. You know, he doesn't get it by any means other than it being a gift of God and being given unto us. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we can't boast that we have faith. We can be thankful that we have faith. If we want to boast in anything, it's like Paul. I'm not going to boast in anything except Jesus Christ. I'm not going to boast in anything except Jesus Christ, my Lord, that has given me the ability to obtain this faith. If he hadn't died, I wouldn't be able to have faith. Faith wouldn't be a gift apart from Christ. And when you think about this word faith, do you know the first place, you know where the first place you find faith? It's found in the Old Testament, the first place it's found. But it's found in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 20 talks about children in whom is no faith. They were talking about Israel. Talking about a froward, stiff-necked people that would not look unto him, that would not trust him, would not obey him. He said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they're a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. So the very first mention of faith is about people who have no faith. Where does this faith come from? It comes from God. I mean, would we have even been able, let's say that God had just created Adam and Eve and we had gone on from there, would we even have been able to find God? Would we even have been able to discover God? Would we have been able to understand God? Would we have been able to know God, except that he revealed himself unto us? We would not even have been able to find him. I mean, scientists are out there looking. They see us over here, and they, in fact, I wish I had written down this quote that I heard on the radio this week. It was some atheistic scientist, and the quote more or less had to do with the fact that they've searched and searched and searched and searched to find the origin of things and how things came about. And he said, one day we're going to climb to a peak and we're going to look over and we're going to see a group of theologians sitting there who've known these things that we've sought after for a very long time. I thought that was remarkable that an atheist who doesn't believe there is a God, you know, make even a comment, you know, like that. But they're looking to find the origin. We found it. How did you find it? Because we've obtained like precious faith. How would we know? How would we believe? Why wouldn't I be like I was telling those people that were protesting outside of the convention that we were at earlier this month? Why wouldn't I be standing on the street there with them? Why would I be holding up signs just like they were, you know, protesting as it were against God? I didn't believe there was a God. Why would I be telling you that it's not fair of you? This is what they were saying. It's not fair of you to teach your children about God and impose your beliefs upon them. You need to be teaching them about everything and let them make up their own minds. Not when you know the truth. I mean, how could I do that? How could I teach them something false? Why is it that I know that these things are true? Why do I believe these things? Why do I trust these things that people count to be archaic? That people say this was written for a different people, a different age, people that weren't as sophisticated as we are, people that didn't know the things that we know. They were an ignorant, simpler people who needed such things and things like faith as a crutch. Those are the things that they would tell us. And I would think the same thing. I would believe the same way that they do. I would count it ridiculous. It would be a stumbling block unto me, even as it is, you know, unto some Jews. And it would be foolishness, as the Bible says, even as it is unto the Greeks of that day, the people that were supposedly wise, the people who had knowledge and understanding, thought this to be foolishness. I would think the same way if it were not that I had obtained like precious faith. I would be like them if it were not for that. Without faith and without God in the thoughts is the natural state of man who has only been born, as we've said, once. I would be a child in whom is no faith if it were not for God granting me the gift of faith. When we speak about faith, the very root of the word faith has to do with believing. It has to do with trusting. It has to do with committing yourself unto another. It has to do with having confidence upon, relying upon. That's what faith is. And so here you are this morning as those if you are one of those who have obtained like precious faith, and your trust and your reliance and your confidence is in Christ. He is my righteousness. I have no other hope. If I hadn't obtained faith, I would not believe that. I would not think faith to be precious. I would not be like others who had faith. I would be like the world who has no faith. That's what we're saying. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." The rest of the world has confidence in themselves. We have confidence in God. We have confidence in Christ. We have confidence in the salvation that has been wrought by Him. We have confidence in the propitiation that has been provided by Him for our sins. We have confidence to be able to stand before God on the day of judgment, knowing that our sins are gone. Our sins are paid for. We have confidence even at this very moment when things come into our lives that God has sent them, that they haven't just happened. You know, it's not just by chance. It's not just a cause and effect type of thing. You know, it's something that God has done. It's something that God decided to do before I was ever even born. The things that would happen in my life. How my life would turn out, what color my eyes would be, what color my hair would be, whether I would keep all my hair the rest of my life or I'll be bald, you know, whether I'll be able to walk the rest of my days or I'll be confined to a wheelchair or to a bed. God knows. God knows. And He's given me faith to be able to receive those things and believe that those things have come from Him. If I walk out today and go home, and I get into the car because Rebecca will want to drive later on to practice her driving, and we get hit by a car, and I'm paralyzed the rest of my life. I didn't choose that. Wouldn't want that. But if God allows that to happen, then there is a purpose in it, a design in it. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to fret about that. But know that He's in it. God's in it. Without faith, where would I be in that condition? Without faith, how I would fret? How I'd be anxious? How I'd be troubled? Not that I couldn't be as a Christian. I could be. I could find myself in a state of disbelief, thinking to myself, well, I can't believe this has happened to me. Woe is me. You know, why do things always happen to me? Instead, where I should be is by this light, precious faith that I've obtained, saying to myself, God, I don't understand, Father, why You've done this, but I know that You allowed it. If I ever walk again, it'll be by Your grace, by Your power, by Your might, by Your design. If I don't, then I'm going to seek to glorify You, confined to this bed, confined to this wheelchair, whatever the case may be. I'll seek to glorify You in the state that I find myself, and knowing that it will not be permanent, because there will come a day that I will pass from this life into the next, and I'll be no more paralyzed. This part of my life is short part. Even if I live to be 100 years old, it's the short part. I'm going to live forever in His presence. So, like precious faith is obtained. These people have obtained something that Peter's talking to. You, if you're one of them, have obtained something. And we know that it's a gift you've been given. But you've obtained something, so it's possession. It's a thing. It's a thing. If you can't really see it, I can't take it out and show it to you. There's parts of my body that I can't take my mind out and show it to you. But you know, you understand that it's there, right? And I wouldn't be able to think. I wouldn't be able to walk. I wouldn't be able to act. I wouldn't be able to move my fingers and my toes. You know, there's things that I can't see, but I know that they're there. But you know, those things, we've opened people up before, and we've seen those things are inside. But you could open me up, and you wouldn't find this thing. It's not one of my organs. You know, it's not a vessel, it's not a nerve. You know, it's a gift that God's given, and it's something that really can't be seen. But it's something that allows me to see something that can't be seen by other people. I can see the kingdom of God. There are people that have eyes that can't see that. I can be blind and still see the kingdom of God if I possess faith. But it's something we've obtained. It's a possession. Otherwise, we couldn't count it precious, could we? I mean, you may have a precious stone or gem around your neck or upon your finger. I know people that sitting beside you that do. It's a thing that you count precious. I count this ring, there's not a gem on it, but it's a precious metal. I count this precious not because it's gold. It could be silver, it could be tin, all that matters. I count it precious because of what it represents. Because of the covenant that it represents. Because of the gift that God gave me and a wife. You know, I've obtained a precious thing. You know, there's things that we count precious. And if it's not something tangible, at least by virtue of the fact that we have faith, you know, if we wouldn't know that we had it, so we couldn't count it precious, but having it, possessing it, we count it precious. It's a precious thing. It's a thing that we counted precious. It's something we've acquired by the gift of God. We obtained it. It's something that was outside of ourselves that has come unto us. We didn't come into the world with it. We've obtained it. And by the virtue of the fact that we have it, what it does, the operation of it is divine enablement. I mean, it enables us to do things, believe things, count on things, hope in things, depend upon things, take the promises that are in the Word of God and take them for myself. They belong unto me. They're mine. They were written unto me because I have faith. They were given unto me because God gave me faith. I can lay hold of those things and count them as precious. If I didn't have faith, I could read those things and not believe in them, not trust in them, not be able to hold on to them in time of trouble. I couldn't say God is a very present help in trouble. I couldn't believe that. I couldn't lay hold of that. I couldn't rely upon it. I couldn't count on it. It wouldn't be precious unto me otherwise. So it is a divine enablement. It is a possession that changes the entire character and definition of a person's life. It has completely changed me. I'm not what I was. I've been born again. 2 Peter 1:3, going forward, according as his divine power, this faith, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It's a divine enablement. It's a divine power. Verse 4 goes on to say, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises. There's promises in the Word of God. A lot of people don't count as great. They don't count as precious, but you do. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. By this faith, I am a partaker of divine nature, of the divine nature, of the divine nature of God. Be ye holy as I am holy. I yearn to be holy. Being a partaker of this and obtaining this like precious faith, I yearn to be holy. I can lay hold of the righteousness of Christ, that this alien righteousness, as it were, that stands, this righteousness of Christ that stands for me, that's been given unto me. I've obtained this righteousness by obtaining this faith. I've been made a partaker of the divine nature. The Spirit of the living God abides within me. I'm a partaker of the divine nature. I desire the sincere milk of the Word that I may grow thereby. I'm a partaker of these things. I've tasted the things of God, and I count them as precious. I want more of them. I enjoy the taste of them. They are food. They are nourishment unto my soul. 1 Peter 5:10, going somewhat forward, or backwards rather, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 5:10 said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. This is like precious faith. I wouldn't be settled, no matter what happens. You know, though the earth be moved and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, I wouldn't be settled. I wouldn't be a tree planted by the water in the times of drought that doesn't dry and wither up. I wouldn't be steadfast. I wouldn't be sure if it were not for this light, precious faith. I wouldn't be able to distinguish between the true grace of God, as we've been going over the past few weeks, as opposed to a false grace, if it were not for having obtained this light, precious faith. I could be believing anything today. You know, I could be worshiping something else besides God. I could be worshiping Buddha, or I could be, you know, in some other, you know, religion. I could be deceived if it were not for this like precious faith that God has given. So, for all believers, it is like, it is common, in other words. It's what Jude talks about when he says in 1 verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, there isn't this base salvation, an exceptional salvation, there is a common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that which was once delivered unto the saints. It's like faith. You got to count it precious. You got to seek for grace to grow. It's like precious faith. In other words, it's the same kind. It's a common thing among God's people. Not something special given to special ones, but to all that are God's. All of God's children have been given this like precious faith. Now we have to grow in grace in this faith. Because you may have somebody young in their Christian experience who is not as settled as someone who is older. They haven't gone through some of the things that God's put you through. Line upon line and precept upon precept, they will grow to that place. Like I've heard Brother Conrad say recently, he used to, when the Lord revealed some of these things unto him and he started preaching, you know, the grace of God, that a lot of places weren't open unto him to preach. And so he started preaching in barns and different places where people, a little small group of people would gather together, people's houses that would invite him. And he said at first, he said he'd go and preach in these places and the people had all kinds of questions. And after he finished preaching, there's all kinds of questions they would ask. And then one day, they stopped asking some of the questions. And they were off amongst themselves talking about and rejoicing in and over the things of God. He said they had grown. Well, that was the point. They had grown. Now, all faith is not of the same kind, but this faith that we're talking about among God's people is the same among them all. It's a precious gift that God gives. And it's alike. But there is a faith that men have, where they believe in something. And there's a faith that people possess in the world that's not in God. They believe in science. They have faith in science. Or they believe in psychology and they have faith in psychology. They believe in their microscope, or they believe in their books and the teachings that they've received that, you know, 5 years from now it's going to be taught differently in college than it is today. But they all believe in something. Maybe they believe in a sports team. They're going to win the Super Bowl, you know, or whatever. They believe that they sit down in that chair that's going to hold them up. But people believe in a lot of things. But it's not this like precious faith that we're talking about here that is had by all who belong to God. It's not a faith in our country, or not a faith in a degree, not a faith in our employment or in our own ability or strength or wisdom or friendship in another person. All those things can fail. God can't. God can't. All His promises are true. They will not fail. But all these people commit and depend upon and believe in and trust in a lot of different things that aren't this that we're talking about here this morning. But they are the things that they worship. They are the things they depend upon. They are the things they look unto instead of God. So this faith that Peter speaks of here is a separate thing from that that men put their trust in, confidence in, that's outside of God. But it is the same in life. The faith that we see in Scripture and Noah and Moses and Abraham and David and even Peter and Paul and other saints have had. Again, its origin is from God. It does not give a different faith. It's like. It is one faith in the same object. One faith in the same object, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord, the deliverer and keeper of our souls. It's like Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are all called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith. There's one. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And this faith is, again, precious. precious things aren't found in abundance. I mean, if diamonds, if we could walk out there in the driveway, you know, instead of rocks being out there, was full of diamonds, they wouldn't be kind of precious. They'd be a common thing, as that limestone, you know, is out there. So precious things aren't found in abundance, but they are held as greatly valuable. So your faith that God has given you is something to be regarded as, something to be held as precious. Precious. Just like grandchildren. They're not abundant. Some people may have an abundance of them, I don't know. But I'm just looking at Aunt Nina, and I guess that's Chloe that's leaning on her lap there. And she's got her hand on her head. You know, that's precious. It's a precious thing. Not in abundance. Again, it's not something that we go out and get. It comes from God. How does it come? How do you get? How does this faith come? What does Scripture say about faith? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Where does the hearing ear come from? Well, the natural one came from God, but the spiritual one came from God too. The hearing ear, He's made it by the spoken word of God, by God opening your heart to receive His word, to receive the message of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. So the faith here mentioned by Peter is vastly different from the false faith of, say, a heretic. You could be a heretic this morning, believing in some false faith. It's vastly different from the hypocrite. Think about Judas, what he was. He was pretending to belong unto the group all the time. He just wanted the money bags. He'd stick his hand in there. He wanted the prestige. He was one of the chosen. You know. It's not the fruitless faith of the outwardly formal, but inwardly dead professor. Person who professes Christ but has no life. We obtained this faith by the character and work of God, by the righteousness of God, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You believe something the world doesn't believe. You understand that. The Bible says the world lies in darkness. You have light. And you even are light in the world. The world has no point of reference. It's without faith. It can't see God. It doesn't know God. It doesn't understand the things of God. But you've been given this like precious faith. They're without God in the world. You're with God. Without faith, truth is hidden. They believe in no absolutes. There is nothing that is absolute to them. Those that are without faith. Nothing is absolute. They believe in no absolutes because they've never seen anything absolute. But you have. It's like precious faith that you've been given. You believe in absolute truth. Everything to them is a myth. There is no reality. They're in darkness. They don't have this like precious faith. Truth and righteousness abide only in Christ. Only the gift of faith will cause a person to see and not continue in the delusion that the rest of humanity is in. Why is it that you're here and your neighbor's not? You've been given this like precious faith. The whole world lies in darkness and you've been given light. You found absolute truth that God is righteous. He demands righteousness. You had none. You couldn't get any. All you had was sin. You're under the judgment of God. Then you saw Christ and knew that His righteousness could be yours. You trusted and believed upon Him. Why'd you do that? Because God gave you this light, precious faith that has brought us to salvation in Christ and brings us even resources enabling us to live this life of faith and live this life of
truth,
live godly lives. So in other words, our lives have been changed. And as evidence of this like precious faith that we've been given, people can mentally assent to certain facts in Scripture. Okay, we found something from that day and time. Because of that, we believe that those things are written in, you know, that thing that's written in God's Word is true. But outside of that, if it can't be shown to them that way, they won't even agree to it. They won't assent to it. But a person could even, because of the faith of their parents, assent to a few. Hey, what? I believe that Christ died upon the cross. But still not commit themselves unto Christ. And Christ not commit himself unto them. Again, it's because of this like precious faith that we have. Rebecca came across a dollar bill yesterday where somebody had on the backside where it says, "In God we trust," they put in, "No God, I trust." Why? They haven't obtained this like precious faith. Again, I'll read to you Philippians 1:29 in closing. For unto you, it is given. You've obtained this like precious faith. In other words, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ to believe upon him. And not only to believe upon him, it says, but also to suffer for his sake. You wouldn't suffer for the cause of Christ if you didn't believe upon him. You'd be like those who spuriously believed for a moment, then persecution came. I was talking about seed fell upon the earth. Persecution came and they fell away. They fell away. Not only to believe, but to suffer even for his sake. But it's been given to you to believe. It's been given to you to believe. How precious faith is. How precious it is to believe that God is a very present help, of our refuge and strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. How precious that is. No matter where we are, no matter what happens unto us, befalls us, God is. We believe that. We know that. God is. And He's our refuge. And he's our help in time of trouble. What a blessing it is to believe that I'm not alone in the world. I don't have to depend upon myself. I don't have just my resources to rely upon. But I can depend upon him and look unto him and know that I'm his child and he's my father. And I'm as the apple of his eye. I'm precious in his sight. He's not going to do anything except what is best for me. He's not going to allow anything except what is best for me. What a precious thing that is. A lot of people in the world don't have that. I guess you could equate it to some kids not having parents. They're orphans in the world. I'm not an orphan. I belong to God. He's adopted me. I'm his. I belong unto him. What a precious thing that is. Amen. Let's stand. Lots of things in the Bible, but they wouldn't mean anything if you didn't have this like precious faith. It wouldn't mean anything to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.